You know, the way you read the Bible, you can read a verse and you can look at it in two ways. I want to ask you, how do you look at this verse, 1 John 2:6? The one who says he abides in Christ ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Or as the Living Bible says, anyone who says he's a Christian must live as Christ lived. Like you have got the title of my book, Living as Jesus Lived. So, you ought to walk as Jesus walked. How do you look at that verse? You can look at it as an impossible command. Oh, it's not possible. It's a challenge that I can never attain to. Or you can say, that first attitude is the attitude of unbelief. That's what the devil tells you. That's impossible, man. Don't even waste your time thinking about it. And I would say the most Christians in the world look at that verse as an impossible standard. You might as well scratch out that verse in the Bible. It's not possible to live like that. And there are some people who say, well, we'll probably reach that when we get to heaven, but not possible now. But is the Bible telling us how to live in heaven? No, there's not a single verse in the Bible that tells us how to live in heaven. In fact, we don't even know how it'll be there. It's telling us how to live on this earth right now. The other way to look at it, and that's the way I want you to look at it for the new year, is to see it as a possibility that God says, I will help you to live like that. That's the language of faith. Oh boy. You mean I can walk as Jesus walked? It took me a long time after I became a Christian to take that as a possibility instead of feeling discouraged, oh, I can never live like that. I feel most of us here have always taken it as an impossible standard, not even worth trying. And always the devil says, who can live like Jesus lived? It's impossible. But if you believe that God does not give us commands that are impossible, just like a loving father will never, my father or mother will never ask their child to do something they know they cannot do. They will only ask them to do something they can do. When you children sit for your final examination and you look at your question paper, whichever subject, every question will be a question of a subject that you were taught in that year, not a question that you were not taught. I mean, you can have that much faith when you go to an examination that I will not get a question that I was not taught in this year. You won't get a 10th standard paper if you're sitting in the 3rd standard class. No. And if earthly teachers know how to give us challenges and questions that we can answer, are we accusing God of something less than that? If earthly fathers will never ask us to do something which we cannot do as children, do you think God will do something like that? I mean, are we accusing God of something like that? That's a terrible sin to accuse God of something like that. And even though we may not have deliberately said it, I feel that unconsciously our attitude to this verse in the past years is something we have to repent of. Many of you, think of the particular areas in your life where you have sinned. And you only got to go to the Sermon on the Mount to see how Jesus lived. You read that sometime. It takes about 10 minutes, 3 chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus did not sit down the previous night and write down the points to preach the next morning. No. He had lived that life for 30 years. And he spoke. You want the kingdom of heaven? You must be poor in spirit. Have a sense of your own need. That's what he had. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be merciful. And mourn for greater fellowship with God. Be pure in heart and all those beatitudes. And avoid anger and avoid sexually dirty thoughts. Are these all impossible commands that God puts upon us and we are burdened? Now, most Christians just chuck it and say, no, don't even attempt it. You know, there are some people who say Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is not for us. There are people who go through sections of the New Testament. I mean, if you go to the book of Leviticus and say, that's not for us, I agree. Because the old covenant has been abolished, it says in Hebrews chapter 8. But where does it say that any chapter in the New Testament has been abolished? And yet, there are groups of people, particularly among the brethren assembly, who say certain parts are not for us today. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is for the Jews. The book of Hebrews is for the Jews. We had a brother in our midst once who used to go around saying, that's not for you. That's not for Christians. That's not for you. Any difficult verse, that's not for you. Imagine preaching such blasphemy. I believe it's blasphemy. Anyone who teaches that must repent of leading people into a godless, sinful life and leading them to hell. Anybody who preaches that, because of which people listen to them and go to hell, their blood will be in the hands of those preachers who taught them, that's not for you. That's not for you. Well, what is for me? Book of Philippians is not for me. That's for the Philippian people. Ephesians is not for me. I'm an Indian. Where's the letter to the Indians? It's ridiculous. Which part of the New Testament is for me then? Hebrews is for the Hebrews and the Sermon on the Mount is for the Jews. And what all things the devil tries to fool clever people with. And I'll tell you something. It's only very clever, intelligent people who come up with these thoughts. That's not for you. You'll never find an uneducated person coming to the Bible and saying that. He just believes it's for him and he gets filled with the Holy Spirit and obeys it. But that clever fellow who thinks he knows so much, God has hidden these wonderful truths from the clever and the intelligent. Not because they are clever and intelligent, but because they are proud of their cleverness and intelligence. It's one of the things I sought the Lord for many years ago. I said, Lord, when I read that verse in Matthew 11, 25, I thank you, Father, Jesus said, that you've hidden these things from the clever and the intelligent. I said, what shall I do, Lord? I'm not the most clever, intelligent person in the world, but I do have a certain amount of cleverness and intelligence. I don't take any credit for it. I was born with it. What shall I do? I'm not a dumb person. And the Lord showed me, it's not your cleverness and intelligence. I gave you that. I can use it for my glory. I can use it to make you teach the word. But if you become proud of it, like most people are proud of their cleverness and intelligence, then I hide the most important truths in Scripture from them. And those are the people who don't see the possibility in this verse. Oh, you mean I can walk like Jesus walked? That's how the person of faith looks at 1 John 2:6. But the proud person, or the person who's not interested in obeying God, and say, ah, there are so many commands like this which are impossible to obey.